I trust that you're coming to know your Bibles. I hope you come to know something of the wonderful revelation of the truth in this book of Ephesians. And then when we follow along with the book of Philippians and Colossians, which are connected with Ephesians, I trust that the Spirit of God will take these amazing truths and cause them to live in your heart and life. And you pray for me that I might have the same experience. Now we're in the third chapter, dealing with the prayer of Paul, where he's praying for strength to be made powerfully strong in the inner man according to his riches in glory. And then he prayed for the intimacy of fellowship that Christ may dwell down in your hearts by faith, and that he shall be always the one who shall have the run of our lives, the run of the house, and that he will enter into every facet of our lives, into every department of our experience here on earth. And then he prays that we might be rooted and grounded in love. There's fundamental grace to be rooted and grounded in love. And then we are dealing now with verse 18. He prays we might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And we were discussing this, and I trust that you've been trying to find out what these four dimensions are of the purpose and grace of God. Now, I recognize, of course, that a great many folk will say these are the four dimensions of the love of God. And I suggest that the love of God is immeasurable. I question whether you can measure the love of Christ or the love of God. It's immeasurable. It's eternal and complete, and it can't be measured. There's no limit to his love and no limit to his character. However, I do believe in Paul's prayer here, he's dealing with some things that he has revealed by the Spirit of God concerning the church, the body of Christ. And I take it to be to comprehend the measureless purpose and grace of God. And we were dealing with, in our last lesson, on the breadth of it. He takes in Jews and Gentiles. He's made them both one in Christ, as we had in chapter 2. And he seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ. In other words, if I may repeat myself, I care not who the person is, wherever they are, whoever they are, Jew or Gentile, whatever their color, whatever their language, however far down in sin, or however goody-goody they may be, the grace of God can reach them and transform them from children of wrath into the children of God. There's hope for anyone in Christ Jesus. The grace of God can reach them. And then we had the length of his purpose and grace in chapter 1, verse 4, together with chapter 2, verse 7, and chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. You remember that he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame, and in the ages to come he's going to show forth the exceeding riches of his grace and the wonders of his wisdom to all created intelligences. I tell you, it's an amazing thing, the length of it, that you and I were in the purpose of God, and he chose everyone who puts their trust in the Savior to be holy and without blame, and that we are to become the vehicles, or should I say, the expressions of his grace and the revelation of his wisdom in the ages to come, in the ages of the ages of the ages, into eternity. And I say again, it's long enough. If he saw us in past eternity and sees us in the ages to come, I'm not going to worry about the next 10 minutes or the next 10 years. Are you? Are you? So many of God's people are still living in fear. Afraid. Afraid of what? That they're going to lose what they have in Christ? Afraid that they won't stand in the presence of God. Now, I know what some of you are going to say. Well, Mr. Mitchell, you're dealing with a dangerous doctrine. You're inferring that when one accepts the Savior, they're saved forever. Well, my friend, I'm not only inferring that, I'm teaching that. I can't help but teach that. When I see the completeness of the work of Christ for us, when I see the purpose of God revealed in the book of Ephesians, when I realize that God is not working at sixes and sevens, that God has a purpose, that he made that purpose, he planned that purpose way back in eternity, and he's not only planned for the present, but he's planned for the future eternity, And he saw me back yonder, and he sees me at the cross, and he sees me in the ages to come. I tell you, the salvation we have starts with God, is continued by God, is going to be completed by God. You say, well, that means that I can go out and do what I want to do. My friend, if you ever saw the grace of God, you'll do what he wants you to do. Instead of the grace of God making us, gives us license to sin, it gives us freedom to live for God. In fact, I'll tell you this very bluntly. The reason why so many Christians are discouraged and disheartened and throw their hands up and say, what's the use? I've tried this salvation, it doesn't work. It's because they've never seen the grace of God. Now, I don't want to get on this, but when I meet so many hundreds of people in my experience of conference and Bible teaching and church work, I want to tell you, my friend, if you can't trust God for today, how are you going to trust him for eternity? It's an amazing thing. A great many of God's people will trust God for eternity, but they won't trust him for the next 24 hours. The God who saves us for eternity is the God who saves us day by day. And he wants us to know something of the wonderful, wonderful grace of God. The length of it from eternity to eternity. I'm not through yet. Did you find the depth? Well, look at the first verse of chapter 1. First three verses. You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You are children of wrath like the rest. You are controlled by the forces of hell. You had your living and your thinking in the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the mind. By nature, children of wrath, born in sin, dead in trespasses and sins. How much further down can you go? How far down did God stoop to pick you and me up? We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were without life, without hope, without Christ, without God. We were afar off. We were Gentiles, having nothing. How far down did God reach to pick you and me up? We were dead in sins. We were unrighteous, unholy. We were rebels. We were renegades. Given up to sin, to uncleanness, to vile affections, to a reprobate mind. Non-righteous. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We were just fit for hell. Dead in sins. Rebels. What did he do? He made us alive together, Jew and Gentile. He made us alive together in Christ. My friend, the purpose of God, the grace of God, not only is long, eternity to eternity, but it reaches right down where we were. How much further down can you go? The depths. He went right down into the bowels of death to save you and me. Do you realize that Jesus Christ became an accursed thing? Cursed is everyone who hangeth on a cross. That he went down to the depths. He tasted death. He could cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When he bore your sin, when he took your place and my place, he went right down to the depths. There was no bottom to reach you, to reach me. How far down is man? I don't care how far down he is. Under the grace and purpose of God, our Savior went to the very depths. You and I, who were dead in trespasses and sins, he's made us alive together with Christ. Is it deep enough? What about the height? I read here in chapter 2, he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. How much higher can you go? In the heavenlies in Christ. My friend, you can't go any higher. He stooped to the lowest to bring us up to the highest. This is the purpose of God in Ephesians. Chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy. And the ages to come, he sees us. The breadth of it, He takes in Jew and Gentile, whoever you are, whatever you are. And the grace of God can reach you wherever you are. It's for everybody. How deep did he go to reach us? We were dead in trespasses and sins, and he went to the depths to bring us up. And then he raised us up, Jew and Gentile together, and seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ. How much higher can you go? To the very throne of God. Accepted in the Beloved. Standing in the presence of God, just like his Son. And Paul is praying here we might know what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, which we take up in our next lesson. But I want this clearly understood this morning. Paul is praying, don't you think we should pray it too, that we should lay hold of these things, to be rooted and grounded in love, this fundamental grace, and then to know the four dimensions of his purpose and his grace for you and for me and for everyone, and then add to that, and to know the love of Christ which passeth all understanding, all knowledge. Will you read it through again, that the Lord may make these truths unusually real in your life and in my life, in your heart and my heart. And you enjoy the Lord today, won't you? And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.